Well, life on the farm, I kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy to me, can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. My tractor sexy.
Goodbye, city life.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo-hoo!
Careful with that sexy tractor. You're going to get yourself canceled on TikTok, you know? 740 here on News Radio 92.3. Better not be a white, blonde, blue-eyed tractor, you know? Just saying. Got to watch these things these days. Ryan Jenkins is our good friend and farmer up in Jay, Florida, and he joins us first Friday of every month to give us an update on what he's doing on the farm and how things are going for farmers in the most important part of our economy that nobody ever talks about. Ryan Jenkins, welcome back, sir.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Oh, man, we're doing fantastic. Hey, I had a follow-up question from a listener about last time you and I talked. I asked you the question about heat and do you like being in the heat, because it's unfathomable to me, but some people apparently do, and you said you do. In fact, it's the reason why you left being an emergency dispatcher is because you didn't like, or at least part of the reason, that you didn't like doing it inside the, you know, the controlled air conditioning cubicle, and you like being out in the heat and working and sweating. And she said, you know, some of her farmer friends say that the trailers that are, or the tractors that are enclosed with air conditioning are actually counterproductive, because the getting in and out of the air conditioning to fix things and, you know, the temperature shift and shock is actually worse than just having a steady temperature of a non-air conditioned tractor. I'm curious what you think about that.
Well, you know, y'all ask some very good questions, but I'm going to tell you right now, when my air conditioner tears up in my tractor, I park it till I fix it.
I got you.
So I don't think it's a problem. You have to get some relief, and I definitely don't think it's counterintuitive. I think that you get in there and get some relief, and people don't really, you know, they say that all the time. Well, you got that air conditioned cab, you know, you're just sitting in the air conditioning all day.
Yeah.
Well, you know, sometimes you are sitting in the air conditioning all day. Those days are very, very few and far between.
Yeah.
Things are always breaking down. You're always having to go and do different jobs. Very rarely do you literally get to sit in the tractor all day. And when you do, it is nice, and it does help you recuperate from the days that you're not able to. So, you know, it all just kind of comes out in the wash. But I would say it's a good thing and not a bad thing. And I don't think that getting in and out makes you softer or makes you where you can't handle the heat or anything like that. I think it's no different than what everybody else does when they get in and out of their car.
And I suspect that, as always is the case, one of the best answers would be, yeah, you know, you're right. Why don't you come watch and participate for a day, and we'll see what you think after that.
Always say I'd love for people to walk in my shoes for a day.
I know you would. What are you all up to right now? What are you working on the farm?
Well, we finished all of our fertilizer stuff, and so now we're pretty much just watching our crops grow. There's a lot of scouting going on, which means you're going to each individual field and walking out in the field and checking for bugs or disease or weeds, you know, just checking the overall status of the crop and coming up with a game plan, you know, every week of what needs to be taken care of. So there's that going on. There is corn that is starting to dry down. So I certainly hope by the time we talk next month that we've harvested at least some, and I hope a good bit of our corn, you know, because next time we talk will be almost the peanut season. So we have to get our corn out before we get started on peanuts. So
and your
it's
corn
coming along nicely.
I was just going to say, and your corn is a pretty small share of your overall crop size, because a lot of what you do for corn is experimental trials and things like that. Do I remember that correctly?
That's correct. This year it accounts for about 10% of our acres.
Okay. All right. Which is
a little bit more than, actually a little bit more than usual. And we did that because the price of cotton was so bad, and, you know, now the price of corn is equally as bad. So we didn't really get anywhere, but that's the life of a farmer, right?
I thought I remembered, and I can't remember now whether it was this year or last year, but I thought maybe it was, I don't know. One year, the price of cotton you were projecting to be so bad that you were going to go almost 100% on peanuts as a way to, you know, work around that problem and make up for it. Was that last year or this year?
Well, Andrew, that was this year, and then we ended up with more cotton than we usually do. So, you know, one day you probably need to get a real farmer on here that's got it all figured out. So,
I think I found my real farmer. I think I'm good. That's funny.
I can't get anything figured out. That was this year.
Okay, all right.
You'll figure out soon. I'm just your regular old run-of-the-mill loser. But anyway.
So not the case. So you guys are spraying, and you like to talk about the equipment that you use for spraying and the kinds of things that you spray, because this is one of those widely misunderstood, misrepresented things. Let me put you on pause for just a second. We're talking to Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. I get so many texts from people. When's Ryan going to be on again? I miss Ryan. I love Ryan so much. I do. I appreciate that. And I know he does too. And people stop him in the stores and all that kind of, I love that. So what do y'all talk about the spraying and talk about some of the things that people maybe don't fully understand about it?
Well, I do think there's a bad idea of how we treat the environment out there that has started over the last several years. And I think we're exactly opposite of what a lot of people think. You know, we try not to introduce anything into the environment that doesn't have to be, because we want it to take care of us. And another reason is because everything that we do introduce, all the inputs are extremely expensive. So if I can get by without doing it, that's exactly what I'm going to do. So this time of the year, pretty much, you know, during the heat of the summer, all we're doing is spraying for the most part now. So like I said, we're out there scouting our fish, called integrated pest management. That's how we even come up with the idea that we need to spray. So that's out there scouting the fields, going through them, looking through them. And used to, if you saw a bug, a worm, a bug or whatever, years ago, you just went out there and sprayed a product or a chemical that would just basically kill everything that was out there, all the bugs and worms. And now we use thresholds that have been agronomically tested, so that we know, hey, if we have a fall armyworm, for example, that it takes at least 10 of those within 100, checking 100 plants, to cause an economic problem. So we won't, if we just go find one or two worms, 1 or 2% of worms, we won't spray. But if it ever gets above that threshold, then we'll go spray. And when we do go spray, we'll spray a very complex product that basically it'll only take out those bad worms. We want to try to keep our beneficial insects out there, is their population as high as possible, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because the good bugs eat the bad bugs.
Okay.
And so it's all highly specialized stuff that we're doing, and we try to do it as little as possible. And then another thing, like one of the products that I'll be putting out for some worms in my peanut this week, we put 1.5 ounces per acre of the product. Well, the product, the active ingredient in the product, is then only a very small percentage of that 1.5 ounces. And as we've talked on here before, so for the lay people, but basically the playing area of a football field is roughly an acre. So if you think, a lot of people know how much a shot glass is or something like that, or a medicine cup.
Yeah.
That is about an ounce and a half. So that's the amount of product in which very little of it's actually active ingredient that we'll put out over an entire football field. So we're putting very, very, very little stuff into the environment. And when we do, it's because it has to be there, or we're going to lose our crop. And hopefully we won't have to do it again that year, because we're still protecting as much as possible our beneficial insects. So there's a lot. It's not just a haphazard decision that goes into, do I spray or do I don't spray?
You know, it's interesting.
So a lot of that's
before. Yeah, I was just going to say, you and I, we haven't talked a lot about this, but the two parts of that strike me is that the perception that farmers are out there just spraying every form of poison they can possibly get their hands on in lavish amounts doesn't really make sense, given that, A, you're decent people, B, you know that that would diminish your ability to produce something healthy for folks. But those are kind of like, because you're virtuous people, you don't do it wrong. But the ones that you're mentioning to me now are things like, hey, it's very expensive. And so it wouldn't make sense for me to waste a product, especially given input prices and output, you know, sale prices are so low, input prices are so high. Financially, it's stupid of me to waste product. And also, there are all kinds of good things that we want to preserve from that. And so we want to very selectively and only when certain thresholds are met, use these products. I mean, that there's a financial incentive to you, a productivity incentive to you, in addition to just being the good person. And I think that's really interesting.
I think, I mean, you said it, and then just to bring it into a little bit better picture for people, excuse me, my sprayer that I'll be using today, it carries 1,000 gallons of product. So that ounce and a half of chemical that we're going to be putting out to kill the worms, it's going to be mixed into 10 gallons of water. I'm putting out 10 gallons of water per acre, strictly using the water as a carrier to be able to cover that acre. Well, that sprayer, if I'm putting out 7.5, sometimes I'll do 7.5 gallon work, so that'll get me 133 acres. So I'm usually doing between 100 and 133 acres a load. One load of those products can cost between $7,000
and $10,000. Whoa. Wow.
So I'm not... You see,
you're not trying to waste it. Yeah, you're not trying to waste
it. Right, exactly. We're very, very cautious with what we put out there.
Yeah, wow.
For many reasons. But, yeah, I think a lot of people don't understand. And then, you know what? This time of year, what happens? As good as, and I don't think there's a better weatherman than a farmer, but you mix up a load, you go out there and start spraying, and where there wasn't a cloud a while ago, now there's a cloud. And some of this stuff has a lot of the stuff that we use will have an 8-hour rain fast time. So it's not supposed to get rained on for 8 hours. Well, this time of the year, you don't frequently get 8 hours.
Yeah.
Right?
Or you have to be careful, right?
So you might be going out there tomorrow and reapplying that $7,000 to $10,000 worth of product on that field. So you see, that's what we're up against. And like I said, we've talked about the sprayers before and the size of them. You know, it carries 1,000 gallons. The booms are 108 feet wide. So the playing width of a football field is 160 feet wide. So I could do more than a football field in one round, you know, going down, turning around, and coming back. And I've done over into the bleachers on both sides. So
I like that.
So there's a lot going on. Everything's very expensive, but everything's extremely calculated. There's nothing that we do now in this day and time that where we just go out there and spray to spray, whether we need it or not.
I have a question that somebody asked me that I don't know the answer to, and I figured you will know. The J Peanut Festival. It got canceled. It's getting canceled. It didn't happen this year. What is the status of that? Do you know going forward?
It hasn't happened in quite a few years.
Okay.
That family, you know, unfortunately got older, and Mr. Gabbert, the one that came up with it on his farm, he died, and they just really have never, for whatever reason, you know, they've never brought it back after his death.
But. Okay. Okay, well, that answers the question.
I know a lot of people asked about it, and it was a good thing.
Yeah, for sure it was. We always like to end with a farm fact. Do you have one for me this week, Ryan?
Yep, we're working on corn, you know, about to start harvesting it, and I was looking it up, and I didn't realize it was so used in so many things, but it said there are over 4,200 uses for corn, and one of them that stuck out to me as I was going over them that I didn't know was pharmaceutical companies use corn to create new antibiotics. You know, sometimes they have to have a biological medium to grow them in, and they'll use corn to do that. So some of the antibiotics that we're using now, you know, have had to have corn to help make them what they are for our use. So I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah, that's
wild. You never
wild.
Know where this stuff's going to show up at.
And I always thought it was fascinating when they started replacing styrofoam with the biodegradable cornstarch-based, you know, popcorn peanuts and packing foam. And then, you know, the kind that you just put a little water on it, it just goes right away. I always thought that was, again, amazing uses for, like you say, for corn. How many different products? Ryan Jenkins is our farming friend up in Jay, Florida, the owner of Jenkins Farms. Ryan, as always, thank you for doing what you do, and thank you for helping us city folk kind of understand it a little bit better, man. I really appreciate you.
Well, thank you all so much for having us, and I appreciate everybody that listens. And I hope everybody has a great weekend.
Absolutely. Eat more peanuts. All right, Jay, Ryan, thanks so much.